Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Colin Weatherwax. Colin, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
It is way too early for us to be talking football, but I guess it's never too early.
That's true.
So we're gonna go through the week six kind of lineup and talk about all the games. You can reach Colin on Twitter at cweatherwax13.
Yep, that's it.
Sweet. It only took me 6 weeks to figure it out. So
that's sooner than I thought it would be.
I'm just surprised I've got the recall at 7:30 in the morning for me. So you can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB, or you could go over and reach out to at Fantasy Benefits for the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Twitter feed. So let's jump right in. And since we're talking so early in the morning on a Thursday, we can talk about the Thursday night game. That's the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. I think you have to start with the running game in Philadelphia because we lose Jay Ajayi. He's out for the season after tearing his ACL. He had been kind of in and out this season already, but seemingly was healthy until this. So what are you doing with the running back situation out in Philly?
So in my shallow leagues, I put in claims of Clement, and I got a few shares. And then in my deeper leagues, I got Smallwood. So I think this is going to be a timeshare. And it kind of already was, but now there's not that third head until you know, some backup guy gets in and probably takes over the role that we don't know about yet. But for now, I think I'm going to fire up Clement. And then in a flex position in a deeper league, I think I'm comfortable putting Smallwood in there if I don't have a better option.
Do you think that there's a chance that the Eagles go out and trade for someone? The trade deadline is a little bit later this year than traditionally. I believe they can trade through the end of this month, which in the past I know it's been like the week six kind of deadline. Mm-hmm. So do you think they're going to go out and get someone, or do you feel more comfortable that one of these guys will inherit the role rest of the way?
I think from a football perspective, they probably should. For a fantasy perspective, I would not want them to trade for someone because midseason trades hardly work out. And that being said, even if they trade for LeSean McCoy, obviously if they trade for Le'Veon Bell, that would probably be the best situation for
him.
That's
not going to happen, though.
I don't think it's going to happen either. And then if they get LeSean McCoy, I just don't see it being that big of a fantasy implication for the rest of the year because it just muddies the water. It'll just be like a Jay Jai type role for all three backs. And so I hope they stay put, but I think if they're wanting to repeat, they probably should go to the trade market and try and get someone to solidify that position.
I think LeSean McCoy would be a fantastic pickup for them, and I will expect them to make a move of some sort. It may be more inconsequential, like the move we'll talk about that Jacksonville made, or it could be a bigger one. I mean, they've made mid-season trades recently for running back, so why not go out and get a LeSean McCoy who is kind of wasting away in Buffalo, and him getting to play back in Philadelphia behind that amazing offensive line. I just don't know if they want the headache. You know, he didn't necessarily leave on the best of terms, and he's, you know, obviously got some off the field issues going on right now. So do they want to soak up that kind of risk when they're already kind of playing a man down? So we'll definitely see how that one pans out. Anything else you got from this game?
So Jeffrey, wide receiver two, probably moving forward, or borderline one. Yeah, I mean, he's getting the targets. He's getting the same targets that Nelson Agholor had, but he's actually catching them. Mm-hmm. So that's a big difference. But yeah, I think if you waited and you took the risk on drafting him this draft season, he's probably going to be a solidified wide receiver two moving forward. That's a great option in this pass offense.
Yeah, that's exactly where I have him ranked this week. They're going to be duds every once in a while, and that's just kind of something you're going to, you know, he's a quasi stud. He's going to get shut out here every once in a while, but when he's on, he's on. Last week was a bit disappointing, but the Minnesota defense actually stepped up for once this season. Xavier Rhodes looked like the guy that that he looked like last year when he was the best corner in the NFL. So this week against Eli Apple. Apple has played better this year, but he's not the player that Xavier Rhodes is. So I ranked him as a wide receiver too. I put Aguilar as a wide receiver four. He should get a few more targets this week. He's got Janoris Jenkins, but that's, you know, Jenkins can get burnt easily. It's just a matter of whether or not they're going to put the focus on him. So on the Giants side of the ball, do you think Odell Beckham's speech to the team, the calling him out, will have any effect?
Probably not. I still think it's only him and Barkley that you can start. Shepard in a good matchup, which this one's a decent matchup. So if you don't have a better option, then probably throw him in there. But there's no reason to start Eli. Evan Ingram's out still. I think he's coming back next week. So I think for now it's just going to be the two-headed monster. And every week, I mean, it seems like you can start him, especially with Odell Beckham throwing touchdowns now.
that was probably the ugliest touchdown I've seen in a while, but it worked. And man, Barkley is such a dynamic player. I think anybody who was questioning that he was worth a first round pick is probably kicking themselves right now, because he's obviously been an absolute stud from the word go. And I just think he's only going to get better as that Giants line improves over the years, because you got to think eventually they're going to address that situation.
Well, they'll also address the quarterback situation moving forward, hopefully.
Yeah, well, we'll see. you know, Eli may play until he literally can't. So, Giants are hosting the Eagles. The Eagles are 3-point favorites. Who you got?
Eagles.
I got the Giants winning this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll do a bet on that one.
I don't feel that great about it. If you want to give me the Giants plus 3, I'll take it.
Okay, I'll do it.
All right. All right, next game we got is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons. What do you got in this one?
This is going to be another shootout. Two straight weeks for Atlanta going up against terrible pass defenses. Tampa Bay is coming off a bye, but I don't think it matters. They are the worst ranked pass defense in the NFL. And so I think it's going to be a carve-up city for all the Atlanta weapons.
Yeah, I'm going to be very surprised if it's not a huge blowout in this game. I know Atlanta's only 3.5-point favorites at home, but I would feel pretty good if I'm still in Survivor, though. I mean, with this the way the season's gone, I'm, you know, I know, like, I had a Survivor league that was like 100 people deep or something like that that ended week 6. What are you thinking about this running back situation? Because Ronald Jones played, and in week 4, got a fair amount of carries. Do you think this is the beginning of his starting role, or is this going to be a committee, or is Peyton Barber still the guy?
I don't think it matters. Especially not this week. Atlanta has a top 10 run defense, and also Tampa Bay just throws it too much. I know they're transitioning over to Jameis Winston, but I don't think it matters for this week. I'd like to see Ronald Jones break out, but they inside the front office, I mean, they're not even confident that he can do that. So, I mean, we've seen that the first few weeks of the season, he wasn't even active, and then they said in the preseason he can't catch anything. So, I mean, it's not been a great start for this backfield. And I was a huge Peyton Barber guy coming into the season, and it's just blown up in my face. So I'm not trusting any of these guys. If you have the chance to pick up Ronald Jones as a flyer, I think you can. I wouldn't drop anyone of significance to pick him up. Yeah. But transitioning to Jameis Winston, I think it's going to hurt this offense, you know, moving forward.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I think that he makes stupid mistakes.
He does.
And
but he's got an arm. I mean, there's no question on who has the better physical talent.
Right, but I haven't seen it. And I know Ryan Fitzpatrick makes stupid mistakes also, but at least he threw for over 400 yards the first 3 games of the season. So you're starting Mike Evans. Chris Godwin was great with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I see that probably falling off a little bit, and DeSean Jackson is always going to be a hit or miss. So I think that's the only guy I'm trusting in this offense. Maybe Cameron Brate, because him and Jameis has like a connection
and
of some
OJ
sort.
And O.J. Howard's out 2 to 4 weeks. So
yeah, that's true.
You know, there's not the competition. Brate has usually been a pretty good red zone target for them. The Atlanta defense is kind of in shambles for the most part so far this year, especially the secondary. So, I mean, I think this is going to be a super high-scoring game, and I think, well, maybe not super high-scoring, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game enough. The Bucs again in the end zone a couple times. I think Evans and Brate are decent plays this week. On the Atlanta side of the ball, how do you see the backfield and really, actually, the wide receiver position, too, working out? Because they've got two running backs and three wide receivers that are all kind of worth starting.
Yeah, and I think you have to start them until, you know, either they figure it out in the running back position. I think you still have to start Calvin Ridley, although he kind of disappointed last week. But we knew the regression was coming. But still, this offense is so high-powered, and they're going up against Tampa Bay, which means I'm firing up everybody. If you're in a deeper league and you have Mosa Sanu, put in your flex. I mean, we saw what he could do on one pass last week. So
he's got a matchup against MJ Stewart, who is one of the worst-rated corners on Pro Football Focus this year.
Yeah, I believe it. And then the running back situation, I'm pulling up the snap counts now. I know Tevin Coleman has been pretty decent this year. Devontae Freeman, they basically had the same snap percentage last week, 39% for Freeman, 38% for Coleman. I think it's going to be frustrating, but I still think they're probably, if you have one or the other, they're probably both going to be RB2s most weeks.
Yeah, I put Freeman as an RB1 this week because
Tampa Bay is
such a awful run defense or defense in general, and I put Coleman as a flex play. I think Coleman could be an RB2 this week as well, because if they get up huge, they may want – you're probably right, they're probably both RB2s. They may want to rest Freeman, make sure he doesn't get re-injured. So I think – but you got to fire pretty much everybody up. Are you firing Matt Ryan up?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right, Tampa Bay at the Atlanta Falcons. Who you got?
Atlanta, for sure.
Yeah, Atlanta to cover. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals. James Conner was great last week versus the Falcons, but I think that has a lot to do with how bad the Falcons' defense is right now and not necessarily that much about James Conner. Are you firing James Conner up this week?
I think you have to if you own him, but I think I'm going to stay away in DFS. Surprisingly, Cincinnati is a top 10 rushing defense. So I know James Conner doesn't get all of his workload as a running back. He kind of gets a lot of in the passing game as well. But I'm going to stay away from him in DFS. And I'm waiting on the big Antonio Brown game. And I posted
last
something
week
I was
pretty big.
It was
decent.
He
got 101 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, that is an Antonio Brown week. I guess I didn't see the second touchdown. But I saw something. I was in the grocery store the other day, and I saw the little Madden 18 cover. I was like, oh, God, why did I draft Antonio Brown? I did not know he was the cover man for Madden. But that's just one of the superstitions. So I think you're still firing up Antonio Brown for sure, obviously. Juju Smith-Schuster, he has proven that he's going to be involved in this offense.
Yeah, even a down week, he still gets 34 yards and a touchdown. I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't pretty, and he needed the touchdown to salvage the day, but he's got a really nice matchup this week out of the slot. So I think he's a must-start wide receiver, too, every week. I got James Conner as a running back, too. The Bengals have allowed the 11th most fantasy points to opposing running backs this season, so not a bad matchup. On the Bengals side of the ball, Gio Bernard's out, but Joe Mixon's back. Are you firing up Joe Mixon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, seeing what we saw last week out of Joe Mixon, and he's the only guy getting fed in that offense as far as the running backs, fire him up every week until Gio Bernard comes back or until Walton, you know, shows out.
I think even once, I mean, before Mixon got hurt, he was still the only guy that mattered in that backfield. So,
right.
I mean, even when Bernard comes back, Bernard may get a few touches, but Mixon is the dude as long as he's healthy, and they're going to just continue to feed him. 25 touches last week, 93 yards and a touchdown on the ground. So I think he seems healthy and ready to go. A bit of a down week from Tyler Boyd. Any fear about that?
I don't think so, but it is kind of on notice that you can't really trust the secondary option in a Cincinnati offense with Andy Dalton every week. It's AJ Green every week for sure. Tyler Boyd had a great start to the season, but there are going to be these weeks where,
He
game
disappears.
plan and he does disappear. So I think this is a good bounce back week for him. I'm actually going to start Andy Dalton in a few leagues as well.
Yeah, Andy Dalton's a QB1 for me this week. The Steelers allow the most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. And if the Bengals are going to win this game, they likely are going to have to throw to stay in it. They can try to control the clock as much as they want with Joe Mixon, but I don't think their defense is good enough to stop Pittsburgh. So they're going to have to score points too. I think Tyler Boyd is a wide receiver three this week. John Ross did not play last week. I don't know what his situation looks like for this week at the moment, but if he is playing, he's kind of like a hit or miss lottery ticket. So maybe a really cheap option in DFS as a guy who can get deep and break a big one if he can actually make the catch. And the Steelers have allowed just a ton of points to wide receivers this year, so.
Yeah, and then the tight end position, I think you were right. CJ Uzuma seems to be the guy that's going to take over for Tyler Eifert. He only had 2 for 43 last week, but he seems to be more involved than Tyler Kroft.
They're actually even contemplating signing Clive Walford. I'm not touching
Oh,
that tight
God.
end
Why would you
situation.
do that?
I had such high hopes for Walford when he came into the league and just never
As did
happened.
I. Yep, it's pretty bad.
Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Steelers, or sorry, the Bengals are 2.5 point favorites.
Ooh, I think it's going to be close, but I do think Cincinnati is going to pull this one out.
Well, I've got the Steelers winning this one again. So I know it's in Cincinnati where Ben can struggle, but I don't think these defenses, either of these defenses, are good enough to stop the other one. And in that case, give me the offense I feel more confident in. All right, Chargers at the Browns. The Browns have won two games this season.
I know it's crazy, and whenever we go to their games, it's actually relevant that we get to talk about them.
Yeah, they have fantasy relevant guys. I mean, Baker Mayfield, QB2. I don't think there's a whole lot to say about him. He's still making a lot of rookie mistakes. But he threw the early interception and then really actually looked very, very good. The defense is the interesting thing for me in Cleveland because that secondary may be the league's best secondary.
Denzel Ward, I mean, everyone gave them crap for drafting him at number four, and man, he's actually pretty
Dude,
good.
he's the real deal. He's legit. I know, like you said, everybody was down on Denzel Ward. Not that he shouldn't have been a first rounder, but people thought they were passing up on a lot of talent at pick four, and he has been worth that slot, if not, I mean, I think he's defensive rookie of the year. I mean, I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, it's still too early, but he's definitely the front runner.
I mean, who else is in that conversation? Let's be honest. I mean, I think he's running away with this. Obviously, things can change. We're only 5 games into the season, so 4 games into the season for some people. But that whole secondary has just been absolutely fantastic, and I think it's something we need to monitor in fantasy. It's one of the reasons why on the Chargers side of the ball, I'm not playing either of the Williams brothers.
Yeah, I think Mike Williams has kind of fallen off his hype train a little bit after 2 touchdowns, and he's been disappointing the past 2 weeks with 45 yards and 15 yards against cush secondaries. Like, he should be dominating those matchups against the 49ers and the Raiders. So yeah, I think it's just Keenan Allen. The running backs are way too involved to ignore. You have to start both of them, and it's crazy to start Eckler, but
Yeah, I don't
it's
think I'm
really
starting
not.
Eckler this week, but
I think you have to in a flex position. I mean, with as much carries as Melvin Gordon is, you would think that their backup running back wouldn't get as involved, but he is. He has been all year. So I think you have to fire him up as a flex position if you have him.
all right. What are you doing on the Cleveland side of the ball? I mean, obviously Carlos Hyde is, like we mentioned last week, like your chance to sell Nick Chubb was last week.
Yep.
If you were going to sell, but now is maybe your chance to buy low. Would you try to buy low on Nick Chubb?
I don't know, because I was watching the end of the game last week and I completely forgot how great Duke Johnson is. And I really want them to trade him away, because I think if they have Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb, then they'll be fine. Like, they don't need Duke Johnson. So surprisingly, a Cleveland Browns team does not need a talented running back. Like, they have two other ones. So I think you're right about Carlos Hyde. You got to fire him up. A lot of people were nervous about Nick Chubb cutting into his time, Duke Johnson cutting into his time, but he's still getting all the touches there. So and he's great. He's their great goal line back as well. So you're firing up Carlos Hyde. You're firing up Jarvis Landry and Njoku. He yeah, finally had his game.
You know why he had his game? Because for those who don't follow me on social media, my wife is in the hospital right now because of some issues with her pregnancy, and she was like, "Oh, I need you to pick up a tight end for me." And Njoku was sitting on the wire, and I went, "Oh man, do I need to like drop my tight end and pick up Njoku and then like have her pick up someone else?" I was like, "No, I'll be a good husband. I'll pick up Njoku." And he goes off and has this great game. I did sit Isaiah Crowell for her, which she was not happy about.
That made no sense.
But Njoku is, I think he's a stud, and I think especially with Higgins being hurt for a little while, Callaway, you know, is going to play, but he mostly stretches the field. They need a guy like Njoku who can kind of get some of those short intermediate routes that Landry isn't getting. So I think he's going to get a ton of targets. He's going to be a valuable TE1 rest of the way.
Yeah, 5 for 52 against the Raiders, 6 for 69 against the Ravens. Like, that is tight end one. It's the tight end landscape today. Like, that is tight end one for sure. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I think he could really develop into a red zone target at some point. I mean, he's got a big body.
He's only 22.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
League young.
Yeah.
All right. Chargers at the Browns. The Chargers are 1-point favorites on the road.
I see this is going to be underdog week. I think I'm going to take Cleveland.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. This is difficult for me. I'm going to take the Chargers. I do not feel good about it. I think this is a shootout, too.
Oh, yeah.
I said 33-28 was the final score. So, I mean, take the over. All right, Seattle Seahawks at the Wembley Raiders.
Yes, this Wembley.
This game threw me because for the last few years when they play in Wembley in London,
it's like 9 o'clock in the morning for me.
Yeah, for you it's like it's usually like starts at 6:30 for me, which is awful because I don't even get off work till 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't watch the first half until I watch the film later, and then by the time I get home, I'm just catching the second half, and I don't have time to even relax when I get home. It's a bunch of bullshit, and so it really threw me off. I was like, why are the Raiders and the Seahawks playing it
at noon?
Yeah, 10 o'clock in the morning for me, and I was like, oh, they're playing in London. Mm-hmm. I hate the London games. I feel like they end up producing a lower quality product.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's unfair for teams to have to fly across the world, especially these West Coast teams. Like,
right.
How fair is it that two West Coast teams are having to fly all the way to London, which is an 8-hour time difference?
Is it 8 hours for West Coast? Because I thought it was 8 hours for me, and I was in Central Time.
No, it's eight hours from West Coast, depending on daylight savings time. The mm-hmm. only reason I know this is because one of our baseball podcasters, Darius Austin, and I record podcasts, and I have to figure out the time difference. So that way we can figure out a time that actually works. So noon my time, 8 p.m. his time is usually when we do it. So
yeah.
That being said, I think I am probably staying away from virtually everything in the Seattle side except for the wide receivers.
Even Doug Baldwin?
No, I said except for the wide receivers.
So you're going to start Doug Baldwin?
Yeah, I'm starting him. I know
his one catch for 1 yard on all of my DFS.
One catch.
On my DFS lineups last week.
Yeah, I think that was more fluke than anything else. So I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think so too. It was just frustrating, but I do think it's going to be him and Tyler Lockett. But this passing offense has not looked great, And this is a running team, it seems like, so far this season.
It is, and I think there is a I think you can start Chris Carson if you want. I just don't know. I don't trust Pete Carroll in terms of the carries that are going to be doled out. Like last week, we saw Carson get 19 carries to Mike Davis's 12, and Penny didn't play a single snap. Would it shock me if Penny led the backfield in carries this week? No, it would
I
not.
think it
It
would.
would shock me a little bit, but we've seen that already this season, where like the guy who barely played ended up being the workhorse the next week. So I don't trust this. I think, yeah, Carson maybe I put him as an RB3 this week. I'm staying away from the situation if I can.
Yeah, Carson had 119 yards and Mike Davis had 68 yards, but a touchdown. So it is a frustrating situation. If you have either or both of them, the one guy that you do start, the other guy's gonna get the workload. So I think if you have either of them, you're probably starting him. But it is a frustrating situation, like you said. The guy that you start won't be the guy that gets the touches, unfortunately.
Speaking of the guys that are super frustrating, Amari Cooper only received one
Oh my
target last week
gosh.
versus the Chargers, as if like his own production wasn't as frustrating. I don't know what you do with Amari Cooper.
I don't think he should be viable to be drafted in fantasy leagues moving forward. I think that's probably the best, cure for Amari Cooper owners. Just don't even draft him. Like, just keep him off your draft boards. I'm not gonna go on my Raiders rant, but he's overrated, but then he's not. Like, he's so talented and we just don't get him the ball. Like, we don't scheme around him, we don't treat him as a wide receiver one. It's unreal to me.
I don't understand. I mean, obviously Jordan Nelson has turned into kind of the steady Eddie in that offense in terms of wide receiver. A bit weird to see a Martavis Bryant sighting.
Oh my God. Don't get me started on Martavis Bryant.
So, but I don't think you can trust that. I think you can trust Jared Cook, you can trust Nelson, you can trust Marshawn Lynch, but other than that, you have to maybe. I think you have to throw Amari Cooper out there as a wide receiver three, but like if you're only having to start two wide receivers every week, I don't know how you don't have a better option than Amari Cooper.
If you have a flex question and it involves Amari Cooper, don't even include him in the conversation. Like, you can start anybody that's getting more targets, more anything. Like, it's Jordy Nelson, Jared Cook, and Marshawn Lynch, like you said.
The Seattle secondary has actually played really well this season, in spite of being not being the team that it used to be, and also losing a star. But they've played well enough where I don't think I want to start anybody but Nelson, Cook, or Lynch,
Yeah, they're actually ranked sixth in the NFL in
allowing the
passing
fourth
defense.
fewest points to opposing quarterbacks this year. So.
And fourth in rushing too. That's a little surprising as
Yeah.
well, but
I
I
think
still
part of it may be like the teams they've played.
Yeah, that's
But
true.
they actually, I mean, they really got to Jared Goff last week. So, I mean, it wouldn't, do like I said, London games can be really tricky because the timing really throws people off. Like having to travel that far and then kind of adjust to what life is like can be real tricky for people, and you never know who's going to adapt well and who's not. So who knows? But I wouldn't trust Derek Carr to save my life. I put him as a QB3 this week.
Yeah, I wouldn't
So,
either. Do you hate London games or Thursday games worse?
I think I hate London games most.
Really?
I really do. I just think it's unfair to the players.
Yeah, I would think due to the frequency, you'd hate Thursday more.
Yeah,
Because I think
I
there's
do
only
hate that.
four each game or each year, right, for
Yeah,
London?
usually,
Yeah.
I'm sure they would love to get a team over there.
Jacksonville.
Oh
That
God,
was or Buffalo. Just exile them.
I don't think you can do Buffalo, but
Nah.
Jacksonville, you definitely could.
Yeah.
Seattle Seahawks at the Wembley Raiders. Who you got?
Ugh. I can't pick the Raiders.
No, it's Seattle for me.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and move on. We'll talk about the Chicago Bears at the Miami Dolphins. Chicago coming off a bye, so they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. But if my Redskins prove anything, that doesn't mean much all the time.
Completely different opponent, but
yes, completely different. Still super disappointing.
Like I said, you went down in the record books. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, not the way you want to go, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that a little bit later when we talk about the Saints. But what do you got for this game?
I remember why I loved last week so much, because the Bears were on a bye. I didn't have to watch Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
I'm paying up for the Bears defense in DFS.
Okay.
Easy. Jordan Howard, what do you think about that situation? Because Jordan Howard and not Gase. Why did I almost say Gase? Nagy had some comments about Jordan Howard's workload moving forward this week.
I'm not worried about Howard.
I don't think I am either. Tariq Cohen kind of had a breakout game before their bye, but you can't trust it. I'm still running Jordan Howard out there as an RB1, RB2, right on the fringe for both of them. This passing game is something that a lot of people will probably pay up for last week just based off of their last performance. It might
Yeah, they
be
were
a little
playing
bit
against Tampa,
old
though.
news. Yeah, it might be a little old news because it was 2 weeks ago, but Mitch Trubisky did throw for six touchdowns. So,
Yeah, that'll be the last time that ever happens.
yeah. Right.
I mean, I think what it showed was in week 4 that the Tampa Bay's secondary is just absolutely atrocious. Miami's is not atrocious. It's not great or anything, but it's not atrocious. There's no way I'm starting Trubisky outside of two QB leagues unless, I mean, I guess. Oh God, no, I just can't. This got it, like
Well,
in a.
you have a deep hate for Mitch Trubisky as well,
It's
so.
not that I hate him. I think he's super raw. I think there was absolutely no development last year. I think this is a development year, and they're so you have to kind of treat him like a rookie. So they're going to be games like we saw 2 weeks ago, but then the majority of the time it's going to be like what we saw the first 3 weeks of the season when dude couldn't get 200 yards passing, was throwing a bunch of picks, got really antsy in the pocket and took off a bunch. I mean, he really is just a little bit better version of Josh Allen at this point.
Yeah, for that reason, I think this pass offense becomes very
Hit or miss.
yeah, basically. I mean, if based off of draft capital, you have to start Trey Burton, but Allen Robinson has not been what a lot of people thought he would be. A lot of people thought he was going way too late in drafts, but it turns out he kind of wasn't. He had a touchdown versus the Buccaneers, but he only had two catches for 23 yards. And against the Seahawks, he had 10 for 83, but other than that, he's been very underwhelming. So,
And it's not Robinson's fault. Robinson actually looks good on the field.
right, it's not his injury that's slowing him
No.
down. It's Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, and that was my fear, though. He was able to succeed with
Blake
Jacksonville,
Bortles, yeah.
and Blake Bortles, but that was largely because the defense in Jacksonville hadn't gotten to where it is now, and there was a lot of catch-up time. The biggest issue for Allen Robinson is Mitch Trubisky paired with that Chicago Bears defense, because the defense is going to keep them in the game where they don't have to air it out towards the
Right.
end. And so that is really what's hurting him. I think he's a wide receiver 3 rest of the way and this week against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. You're starting Trey Burton. You're starting Jordan Howard. I think Tariq Cohen will continue to get enough touches to be a flex consideration week to week.
Yep.
So the only thing I want people to be kind of wary of is that this game is being played in Miami. There is a huge hurricane blowing through there right now. Conditions may be windy and wet, which aren't necessarily always conducive for passing, especially when you don't have a strong arm quarterback in Mitch Trubisky.
All right.
So I may actually drop Robinson outside of my wide receiver 3 tier.
Yeah, and then Miami. Ugh, what a mess.
What are they doing? Like,
Mm
I mean, it's cool to see Kenyon Drake catch 7 passes
hmm.
because 69 yards and a touchdown is very nice.
But we won't see that ever again.
And, like, I don't understand how you give Frank Gore twice the amount of carries as Kenyon Drake.
It doesn't make any sense. 6 for 46 for a 7-yard average, plus his 7 receptions that he had last week. I don't understand how Adam Gase can't figure it out to give him more touches. And until he does, he's going to have these games on your bench. Like, you cannot start these touches. You can't.
Nope. And I mean, not against Chicago. Chicago's got a fantastic defense. I'm going to say it right now, there's nobody worth starting in Miami this week. There isn't.
Yeah, I agree. Kenny Stills, he's the only guy that has 100-yard receiving this whole year for them. And that was in week one. So they're wanting to get as many guys involved as they want or as they can just to prove how deep they are, just so that way they can lose a game. I think that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, this is going to be ugly, I think. You add in the fact they've got a player that play this Bears defense, which is absolutely legitimate.
And coming off a bye.
Yeah, yep. Had 2 weeks to prepare and playing in what will likely be windy and wet conditions in Miami. Now, you know, it may not be as wet as it's going to be right now, but it's definitely going to be soggy, and it's definitely going to have some wind to it. I'm staying away from this game offensively for the most part.
They have the opening in their dome, right? Like, they can't close it at all?
I believe in Miami. They do.
Yeah, I know they have the opening. I just didn't know if they could close it at all.
Yeah, so I actually don't know that answer. That's a good question.
Let me look at it. I don't think it matters, but...
No, because, I mean, they'll have had, you know, it blocked off from the rain, so I just worry about the rest of the weather.
Right.
Chicago Bears at the Miami Dolphins. The Bears are 3-point favorites on the road.
Wow, that's way too low of a line. Give me the Bears.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears as well. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think it's going to be one of those ugly games.
Yeah.
Arizona Cardinals at the Minnesota Vikings. This would be quick. Can you start an Arizona Cardinal other than David Johnson?
No, you can't.
I agree with you.
We have no bet. We have one bet through all these games. Like, what's going on? Why are we agreeing so much? What is wrong with this?
We'll get there. There's stuff coming. So.
Oh, I see Washington on the ballot. We'll get to when we get to the Washington game.
we'll get some bets. We didn't talk about the board bets yet from last week.
Let's go in Minnesota.
You don't want to talk about board bets from last week.
I don't think people were paying attention last week.
I put in the title of our board bets doc how much I'm winning. Currently 13-5 for the year. So David Johnson, he's, you know, I think back to being a running back one. I think the Vikings will try to stack the box versus the Cardinals in order to force Rosen to try to throw a little bit more. They're still giving up a ton of fantasy points everywhere. You just can't trust anything other than David Johnson in this offense. So let's talk about the Vikings side of the ball. Dalvin Cook was inactive versus the Eagles. Looks like he could play this week or should play this week. The Cardinals have been giving up the most fantasy points to fantasy or to running backs this season. Is Dalvin Cook playable this week?
No.
Oh, here we go. Here's the bet.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was not a big Cook guy in the preseason, and this offense is throwing more than any other offense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to risk Dalvin Cook, especially not against the Cardinals. And they're just not going to do it. And every time that Cook's out and Murray has the workload in front of him, like, they just don't give it to him. Like, they're just throwing every single time. So other than this pass offense, I'm not going to trust any running back until they absolutely need to run the ball. And I don't think they need to.
See, I knew we would get we'd get the bet here. I say Dalvin Cook is a top 24 running back.
Oh, yeah. He's outside of that for sure.
All right. See, this is how you win bets, people, because
you pick a guy coming off an injury that hasn't played in 3 weeks, going up against the Cardinals,
who are the worst run defense in the league.
They're going to smoke no matter what they do.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're going to run the ball quite a bit and run out the clock when they're up three touchdowns. Dalvin Cook is going to get plenty of work. I think he is actually an RB1 this week.
Wow. So
I think you're starting him in every format. I haven't checked what his price is on DFS. I can't imagine it's a whole lot. I'm going to be all over Dalvin Cook this week. He was potentially ready to go last week, but they wanted to give him another week off. So I think this is the Dalvin Cook breakout game for all you truthers. I do feel bad for the dude who took him, like, first overall in NFFC. But
Well,
that's what you
okay,
get
but
for doing that.
if you take Le'Veon Bell first overall, you're basically sitting in the same position.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And that
So
happened more frequently than the Dalvin Cook guy,
it
but
did. It did.
I am super confident in this passing game. Kirk
Oh, I am
Cousins,
too.
Adam
This is
Thielen,
gonna be a
Stephon
slaughter
Diggs.
of a game.
Oh yeah.
It's
And
just
they're gonna get out so far in front that they're just gonna play Latavius Murray, and Dalvin Cook is not gonna see the field
we shall
in the second
see.
half. Yep.
Cardinals at the Vikings. Who you got?
Give me the Vikings.
All right, it is a 10.5 point spread.
Oof.
I'm still taking the Vikings.
Yeah, I think I'm still gonna. I think they'll still cover too. Although the last time they had a double digit spread, we know what happened. No one's ever gonna forget that game. Like everyone that did Survivors, they're gonna be like, "You
Oh,
remember the
yeah.
time when Buffalo covered? Not even, not only covered, they
They
beat
beat the crap out of them. Like it wasn't
them."
like what it wasn't even like, oh no, like
Nail
Buffalo, they
biter,
kept
right?
it close and like they just took it to them the whole game. All right, game of the week, Indianapolis Colts at the New York Jets. What do you got?
Let me check and see if T.Y. Hilton's playing. Because
It it
that
sound as of yesterday, they said he was week to week,
would.
which does not
Yeah.
sound encouraging for this week.
Him and Jack Doyle not expected to play. Okay, so we had a bet last week of Ryan Grant versus Chester Rogers. That did not go in my
It
favor.
did not. It was fantastic for me.
Yeah, so Chester Rogers looks to be the guy that's going to benefit from T.Y. Hilton's absence. There's also this tight end on their depth chart. I don't know if you know who they are. Eric Ebron, I think
Nev
that's how you
never
say
heard
his
of
name.
her.
Yeah. So he had two touchdowns last week. He seems to be a new guy in this offense that Andrew Luck likes. And
He
it's
learned how to
nine.
catch in the offseason, which
He must have. It must
for
have been how Matt Stafford threw the ball.
No. It was definitely not Matt Stafford. It was definitely Eric Ebron, but he has been like I said, fantastic in this offense. I mean, he's obviously a tight end one until Doyle comes back, and I think there's going to be reason to believe that he can continue, not this level of production, but continue to be a tight end one even when Doyle returns. I mean, they've been able to maintain two tight ends before with Luck in that offense. So I think you're starting Ebron. I think you're starting Chester Rogers as a wide receiver three. I think you're starting Hines as a PPR RB2. And obviously you're starting Andrew Luck, who is, I believe, a quarterback one this week.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm in the middle of pulling up the prices for Eric Ebron because last week I did not pay up for Eric
I
Ebron,
did.
and that hurt me.
I've been I think I've used Eric Ebron in 4 of the 5 weeks this week or this season. So I mean, like, and as much as I hated him,
For somebody that hates him, yeah.
I mean, he's been such a great price. Like, how do you not continue to just roll him out there? I'm sure he'll be like the number 2 price tight end or 3 price tight end this week, though.
Yeah, I can't get past all these Thursday night ones. Hold on, I'm trying to get there. But yeah, I agree about Hines. Like, you got to fire him up, even in the standard league. Like, his touches are just enormous. So Eric Ebron is the highest price tight
Yeah.
end.
See, there you go.
He is at 5,400. So, but that's still not that much, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is too that you have what
Gronk in the Sunday night, so.
and same with Kelce. So, I mean that the
And Ertz on Thursday. So yeah,
number two tight
that's
end
locked.
was Jordan Reed, who didn't do anything
Yeah.
last week. So, on the Jets side of the ball, I'm sorry to my wife for sitting Isaiah Crowell.
Oh my God, Isaiah Crowell.
That was a poor decision on my part for her. She still won her matchup, so she can get over it. And, Isaiah Crowell, 219 yards and a touchdown on 15 carries. Is this Isaiah Crowell just finally realizing potential, or is this just taking advantage of bad matchups?
It has to be against bad matchups
It is.
because his counterpart, 20 carries for 99 yards, Bilal Powell. Like, they just ran it down Denver's throat.
Yeah,
So,
Denver's run defense is atrocious.
yeah, there's no way that this happens again. Sell high. What else can I say? Like, don't pay up. I don't understand it.
Yeah, and I think it's indicative of what the Jets want to do. They want to protect Sam Darnold. And they do not want Darnold throwing 40 times a game. They're happy when Darnold only has to throw 25 to 30. I know Darnold's fantasy numbers looked great last week because of three touchdowns. That was largely because the running backs got it down there, and then he just popped it into someone. So he did have a nice play to Robbie Anderson. But if anybody thinks this is the Robbie Anderson breakout game, I think you're going to have another thing coming. Inunua didn't record a catch on five targets. I think he'll be fine. I think you're starting Inunua. You're starting Crowell. I think you can start Powell in most formats as well. Against a Indianapolis run defense that is not very good. But that's about it for the Jets.
I think Robert Anderson's probably a flex play.
No, I don't think so.
I think so. And don't forget, you have a bet Robbie Anderson versus Inunua the rest of the season. It's looking pretty good for me.
Yeah, no, I'm not taking on Mike's stupid bets.
No, you are. It is.
Robert Anderson is not a top 30 wide receiver this week.
I can't take it. I'm not going to do it.
All right.
I think that's the first bet I've declined all year.
I do not believe that's the case. Indianapolis Colts at the New York Jets. Who Jets are 2.5-point favorites at home.
Indy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they cover. It might be a close game. New York might be able to pull it out.
I said, oh, really? Like, I disagree. I don't.
You're just surprised that I agree or pick the right team? Like, what is this?
Yes, I'm just, I'm beating you in so many bets. I just assume you're always going to make the wrong decision.
Yeah,
let's talk about my team, which was super disappointing. Knew it was in the realm of possibilities, but coming off a bye week. I really thought that they would play better. They looked rusty is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina Panthers at the Washington Redskins. Start on the Carolina Panthers side of the ball. McCaffrey is an absolute stud. I think he's back one every week, rest of the way. 17 carries, and he's getting targeted highly in the passing game. I think he is really him and Cam Newton are really the only two must-starts in these offenses.
Yeah, Greg Olsen should come back this week, so that'll help out a little bit. And then
is he a tight end one for you this week, though? Or are you going to kind of wait and see?
I think it's smart to wait and see. It depends.
You may not have that option.
Yeah, you might not have that option. And a lot of people, might have just dropped him after that foot injury that he suffered last year. It's the same foot. They're like, okay, this is going to be the end of the season thing. And if you're able to scoop him up, you might have a better option that you trust more, like an Eric Ebron or or maybe even someone else that's done decent, Jared Cook, someone Njoku or something like that. But if you have to start him, I mean, there's probably not anybody on the wire that's better than him. And a lot of people that drafted McCaffrey, you hear a lot of people that draft a running back and they haven't scored a touchdown or anything like that for the first 5 weeks. Well, McCaffrey scored his first touchdown last week, and you have heard no one upset about his performance the first 4 weeks. So this guy is getting all the touches. He is a legit RB1, pretty much a top five rest of the season. It's insane how many touches he's getting in game, and there's no reason to think it's going to change.
I completely agree with you. I think, and then Cam Newton, I think, is a quarterback one. It's amazing how quickly fantasy stats can change. Last week I was talking about how the Redskins had allowed the fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks, and how they had allowed the fewest points or the third fewest points to fantasy running backs and fifth fewest to fantasy wide receivers. They're all now middle of the pack. All it took was Drew Brees deciding that he wanted to show up and show big for Monday Night Football and breaking that record. And the Redskins defense is not looking nearly as good as it did 2 weeks ago. So
yeah, back-to-back bad matchups for you guys with McCaffrey coming in. I mean, just listen to these stats. So against the Cowboys, 10 carries for 50 yards, but he adds in 6 catches. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, 8 carries for 37 yards, super disappointing, 14 catches. And then Bengals, 28 carries, 184 yards. And then last week, this guy is he is worth the price every single week in DFS.
Yeah, no, it's really amazing just what he's done this season. I want to say, let's see if I can bring it up real quick. He is, I want to say he's the, oh no, he's second in the end of, among NFL running backs in targets. I mean, it's just he's getting a ton each week, so you've got to start him no matter what. And I think I'm probably not going to pay the price for him in DFS, but that's
Oh, I
okay.
am.
Oh, are
Yeah.
you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like Alvin Kamara whenever Mark Ingram was out. Like, you just got to pay for
Oh, we'll get there.
it.
Oh,
They're
I
on a
get
bye
it.
this
They're on a
week.
bye
They're on a bye.
this week.
Yeah.
This week,
We won't get to it.
so we won't get to it. All right. Well, let's just talk about it real quick then. Do you think that Kamara is not an RB1 with Mark Ingram there?
I like the story that I heard this week. So he's been getting all the carries the first 4 weeks. They're going into a bye, give him an extra rest by going up against this terrible team that they played on Monday
I
night,
hate you.
and give Mark Ingram all the work. I like that story. I think I'm going to stick to it. I mean, even we saw last year, like both of these guys can be super productive. You can start them both. I'm not worried about it right now.
I'm not worried either.
You're not going to get 40
This
plus
game was a
points.
blowout that, like you said, they've given him a huge workload. They got up and they took him out. Like it's not, this is not a, oh no, Mark Ingram's there, he's going to soak everything up. That's not the case. I think Kamara's still an RB1. Ingram is an RB2 moving forward. And if anybody is freaking out and wants to sell high, quote unquote, on Alvin Kamara, be that person that takes advantage.
Yeah, I do think that we probably saw two of his best fantasy performances in those
Sure,
first four games for the
but
season.
I mean, he was an unreal monster. That wasn't sustainable, even if Ingram didn't come back.
Yeah.
So, on the Redskins side of the ball, moving back to this game, I've tried to avoid it as long as I can. I don't know if anybody is playable other than Chris Thompson.
Yeah, and he disappointed on Monday night too.
Yeah.
I think I agree. I mean, this passing game was supposed to be something that was going to be relied upon for most fantasy seasons, like Jamison Crowder. A lot of people were high on Paul Richardson. Cough me.
Yeah, I was huge on Jamison Crowder.
I mean, it hasn't looked good.
No,
And I
and
think I know where you're going with the blame on this one.
it's Alex Smith. Alex Smith is to blame. Like, I hated Kirk Cousins. Mostly not as a fantasy quarterback, but just as a real life quarterback. I could not stand Kirk Cousins. But I don't know how you turn this offense, which thrived under Kirk Cousins, into what we're seeing. And it makes absolutely no sense that they would spend a draft pick, trade a very good quarterback, and in Kendall Fuller, and then give him a huge fucking contract to a guy who's super old. Now we're stuck with this guy for a while. Otherwise, we're gonna take a huge fucking cap hit. It's oh God damn it, Redskins! Every fucking year you do something like this. This is the offensive version of Albert Haynesworth.
I went on my Oakland rants too much. No, I think you got the record for that.
Oh, it is absolutely infuriating as a fan to look at a team and go, man, this team has talent all around it, offensively, defensively. We have a real shot to compete in this division.
So let's pay Alex Smith.
So, yeah, like. We're leading the division right now. I don't know if anybody've noticed. Like, we were leading the division coming into last week, lost, still leading the division at 2-2.
Because you had to buy.
But still, like, still 2-2 leading this division. This division is winnable for us, but it won't be with Alex Smith.
Put Colt McCoy in.
Seriously, at this point, just fucking do it. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, go get Colin Kaepernick. Ugh.
Oh,
Just.
that's gonna stir some pots out there.
I don't care. Go trade for RG3. I don't give a shit. Like, do something. I can't. Oh my God, if I have to watch this for the next 3 years, I don't know how I'm going to handle it. Anyways, I wrote I and this may predate you, but were you on Twitter at all during this game?
During this game, not really.
Okay. Everybody that all of a sudden, like at the same time, about 40 people who I follow on Twitter all tweeted was like, "Where's Jordan Reed?" Like, I wrote in my write-up for Fantasy Alarm that you would have thought if you were on Twitter that game that Jordan Reed's real name was Carmen San Diego. Do you know who Carmen Sandiego is?
No, I don't.
Oh my God. All right. Well, never mind. We'll talk about this offline, I guess. Carmen Sandiego was there was a video game and TV show called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? And it was kind of like one of those educational games.
Oh, yeah. I definitely did not play educational games growing up.
Well, you might have played it in school, like, you know, along the lines of Oregon Trail and stuff like that.
Nope.
You don't know what Oregon Trail is, do you?
I do, but if you quiz me on it, I probably won't get anything right.
All
right.
Well, I'm sad. your childhood was not as rich as mine.
It's a typical Redskins fan, just sad.
Yeah, exactly. Carolina Panthers at the Washington Redskins. The Redskins are 1-point favorites. I don't know how.
How?
It doesn't make any sense. I'm taking the Panthers to win this game. So, Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans. All right. I feel like I'm asking this question a lot this week. Is anybody on this Bills team startable other than LeSean McCoy? Or is even LeSean McCoy startable?
You already know my answer.
Nobody's startable this week, right?
No, yeah, but. I agree. But.
No, there's no but.
Chris Ivory.
No, there's no but.
I'm just saying, if he's out there and LeSean McCoy gets traded.
Yes, okay, that is a good point.
Yes.
Okay.
He is someone that you can pick up as a flyer. Give me Chris Ivory over Ronald Jones, who we talked about earlier, as a flyer.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, 14 carries for 43 yards, whatever, but.
Could be the starting running back in a week or two.
And he has no off-the-field issues, nothing looming, nothing. I mean,
and you know what? In terms of with how bad this Bills offensive line is and offense in general is, he's actually a really good fit for what they need to do in terms of can ball off, run forward.
Yep.
Like, I don't care if there's a hole there, just run.
Yep.
Like, and that has been Chris Ivory's running style forever is – I'm just going to run forward. If there's a hole there, great. If not, I'm going to make one.
I mean, even last year, whenever he was with Jacksonville, everyone was so frustrated whenever he would get a touchdown. But that's just what he does. Yes. He would vulture Fournette. And now he's going to vulture McCoy. And especially if McCoy leaves, he's going to be an RB2 for you.
Yeah, I don't even know who the third running back on that roster is.
I don't think it matters, honestly.
I don't think it does either. But I mean, in terms of full disclosure, Marcus Murphy.
Oh yeah, I did hear them probably make a play at getting him some more playing time moving forward. Actually,
he didn't even suit up last week, so I'm not worried about him. So
that's a lot of Bills talk this week. That's weird.
Yeah, way too much. Let's move on.
Yeah,
talk about the Houston Texans, who should go off in this game.
Should, but did you watch the Sunday night football game? Of course you did.
Of course.
So Deshaun Watson.
Did you see that that Hopkins spin move?
Oh my gosh! Which one? The first one or the second one?
The one they made the video out of that I retweeted.
Oh, I didn't see the one you retweeted.
The Texans actually tweeted it out. It was
did they really?
Oh, it was great. It's. Huge. I think. So wait, what were you going to say?
Deshaun Watson. I mean, he got beat up in that game. Are you worried at all?
Yeah, no.
No.
As long as he's healthy. I mean, he did get injured in the game, so I mean, he is questionable. I think he's going to play. I don't think that's an issue.
So he said he'll play.
They get Lamar Miller back this week, which isn't necessarily a huge thing, but I think. In terms of him, yeah, I think he'll be fine. The line's got to be better. But ultimately, I think he is a must-start versus this Bills team, and I'm not worried about him as long as he is on the field.
So
my biggest fear is that he gets knocked out of these games.
Yeah, that's true. Now, if you're a Lamar Miller owner, you saw in a competitive game Alfred Blue get 28 touches. How upset are you?
I don't think you're going to see these kind of competitive games very often. So, you know, with Houston, I think games, because the secondary is so bad, these games are going to devolve into shootouts or Houston's going to run away with a game or get run away with. So, like, I don't think that there's going to be these 28 carries What I do think is this really muddles the water for Lamar Miller, especially with Dante Foreman likely coming back around the end of the month or
Yeah, I
beginning of
think it's actually
November.
next week.
I think he's eligible. He won't actually be back.
I saw a report saying otherwise, sir.
No, did you?
Let me pull this up. Yeah,
If
I'll
he's
have to find it.
back next week, I mean, you've got to, if Foreman is on your waiver wires, go grab him right now.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people pick him up in a few of the ones I
Well, we
saw on
talked about it
Twitter.
last week. Like,
Oh, yeah.
you should be stashing him. I know we got into an argument, what, with Evan,
Yes.
in our staff chat last week, and we kind of, I think, mentioned it last week. But like, there's no risk to it. I mean, everybody is stashing somebody. They're
You're
stashing,
dropping the last guy on your bench for
yeah,
him.
for him for sure. Because in this offense, with his talent level, if he is healthy and back, then he could be an RB1.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you're getting an RB1 for, let's say it takes him a few weeks to get going and just to take over the role. If you're
So
getting an
week
RB,
nine on.
yeah, if you're getting an RB1 for the fantasy playoffs for the last half of the season, you've just, for a waiver wire pickup, you've found a gold mine. So, obviously starting Hopkins, worried about Fuller.
I was going to ask you, so Fuller or Coutee rest of the year, who you
Fuller.
got? Really?
I like Coutee a lot, and I love all the people who are like, oh, go pick up Coutee. If you had fucking been reading my pieces, you would have known to pick up Coutee like the week before his breakout. I think he is going to be a wide receiver three rest of the way, but Fuller has super upside, and it's he had caught a touchdown in every game that he played in this season until this one. He's going to catch another one versus Buffalo. So it's, I'm not worried about Fuller at all. I like Coutee, but there isn't going to be a ton to always go around to him. So there are going to be weeks where he puts up 3 for 30s, and you're like, oh man, I can't believe I started this dude. But then there's going to be with the weeks where, he gets 8 for 120 with a touchdown, and you're going to be happy. It's just, that kind of volatility, I prefer a guy like Fuller who I know is going to get lit up, or, going to light it up most weeks.
Yeah, and even last week, I mean, Fuller was the guy that didn't get the targets. He had two catches for 15 yards.
He had Byron Jones on him a lot of the game.
Yeah, that's true. So, but I think moving forward, you got to start all three of them until, one of them starts to fall off a little
Yep,
bit.
I have Hopkins as a one, Fuller as a two, Coutee as a three.
Sounds about right.
Any interest in Ryan Griffin?
I mean, kind of, I
No,
guess.
I know.
It's just the tight end position. Like,
Yeah, I guess that. But
that's the only reason.
we are seeing tight ends emerge kind of out of nowhere. So, and I need to see it another week that he's going to get that kind of target share, on a week-to-week basis. I don't buy it yet.
Don't buy it season long, but I mean, it's the Bills.
Yeah, I'm still
And
not
it
doing
just
it.
depends on your other option. But
Yeah, no.
Ryan Griffin, top 15 tight end this week.
This is a really boring board bet, but I will take that.
It's
Finally got a third bet on there.
our middle name, really boring.
All right. well, what do we got? The Bills at the Texans. The Texans are only 1-point favorites.
Texans.
Yeah, Texans. Rams at the Broncos. Jared Goff was kind of held back a little bit. Still threw for over 300 yards, but two interceptions, only one touchdown versus Seahawks. The Rams lost both Kupp and Brandon Cooks to concussions, and both are in protocol still, so we don't necessarily know if either are going to play, or if they're going to just have Robert Woods for this game. So what are you doing to this Rams offense?
They both took part in Rams walkthrough yesterday.
Okay.
So whatever that means, I don't know. But it
You
seems like
have
a
to go through
pretty
a walkthrough, and then you have to then you can practice without pads. I'm trying to remember the entire. I read the protocol at one point, but that's the beginning steps, and that to me is not necessarily a super great sign in terms of being ready to play by Sunday.
If both are active, let's just go on that
Okay.
premise. Jared Goff, QB1.
Yes.
Cooper Kupp, I'm avoiding in DFS because he's going to see Chris Harris.
Yes.
So other two fire up, and
I
Todd
think you're
Gurley.
firing any of them up in season long. I
Yes,
think the
for sure.
offense has been too potent to bench any of these Rams.
Yeah, especially if you own two, the one you bench is going to go off.
Sure.
So, and then Todd Gurley, pay up in DFS. I
For
mean, we
sure.
saw what Isaiah
Yes.
Crowell did last week.
Yeah, Todd Gurley should be on every DFS roster.
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess there's not a whole lot to talk about with this. I think you're starting virtually everybody you've been starting with the Rams. I think if for some reason both Cooks and Kupp are out, I would be interested in Tyler Higbee.
Okay.
Higbee hasn't been, you know, Higbee's had a hard time separating himself from Gerald Everett, but he has been playing, or he did play 80% of the offensive snaps last week. And they will need another pass catcher. I don't necessarily trust their fourth, fifth wide receivers. So I think Higbee would be the guy I would pay for if I needed a kind of just a random tight end off the waiver wire and need, those two guys aren't playing. If they are playing, then ignore tight ends.
Yeah, and then I think the other wide receiver that would probably get the most touches would probably be Josh Reynolds,
Yeah.
but maybe like a contrarian DFS play if one of them's out. If both of them's out, then maybe throw him in as a flex, but that's
Sure.
about it.
I don't think I'd float him as flex, but contrarian DFS
In
play for sure,
DFS, yeah,
yes.
that's what I
Okay,
meant.
okay.
DFS, yeah, no, not in a season long league.
On the Broncos side of the ball,
Philip Lindsay, that's it. That's about it, right?
yeah, no, I agree. I think I think the game got out of hand, so he didn't see quite as big of a load as he normally would. I think Freeman is obviously second fiddle for him. Lindsey is an RB2 this week. Demaryius Thomas had the big game finally.
Yawn.
Yeah, I don't want to start any of these wide
It was a
receivers.
fluky play. It was, did
It
you see the
was,
I mean, it's a fluky play.
yeah, I know.
Like he could have easily dropped it, and then we don't even mention him on the
For
podcast.
sure. Emmanuel Sanders has a really tough matchup this week out of the slot. You know what? I hate to do this, but you know who's a really sneaky DFS play is Courtland Sutton this week because he's going to have Marcus Peters on him, who's just looked atrocious in coverage this year.
Yeah. I mean, they did get beat. Well, I mean, the secondary looked pretty bad against Seattle. Yeah, I can't do it with Sutton. I
Yeah,
can't
I
do
can't
anybody
either.
besides Philip Lindsay.
Well, what about Emmanuel Sanders? You're not starting him?
Nope. I think I've come to your belief of not trusting him.
Keenum is just too bad.
Yeah, he's that bad.
All right, Rams at the Denver Broncos. Rams are 7-point favorites in Denver.
Rams.
Yeah, I don't
They're
think that's
clever.
close. I'm surprised it's not double digits. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Dallas Cowboys. Leonard Fournette out again. They've signed Jamal Charles, but where do you have T.J. Yeldon this week?
I can't wait for this game. I love it when Dallas loses, and they're going to lose so hard. TJ Yeldon, RB, let me see.
RB2 for
Probably,
me.
yeah, RB2 for sure. I was trying to think if I could go RB1, but I
I
don't
don't
think I
think I
can.
can.
No. But I mean, just the workload alone, I think signing Jamal Charles, it's just a depth play, really. They lost Corey Grant, so but it does make you worry if you're a Fournette owner. What are you doing if you are a Fournette owner and you lost out on TJ Yeldon shares? Like you have Fournette and then you have nothing else in the Jacksonville backfield.
I
Are
mean,
you trading him? Are
I'm
you
not
holding
trading
him?
Fournette. No, you can't. What are you going to trade Fournette for? You've got to hold him and hope that you
Someone
can
that can play
survive.
for you? I mean, if you're a Fournette owner, there's a more than likely chance that you don't have a good record unless you picked up some better picks later on in the draft. But he's given you basically nothing this year.
Okay, let's do some would you rathers. If you're
Okay.
in that situation, would you trade Fournette for Adrian Peterson?
No.
Would you trade Fournette for LeSean McCoy?
Probably.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just based off the trade,
Would you
honestly.
trade him for Alex Collins?
No.
Would
What
you?
about Dalvin Cook?
I
Two guys that have been injured, barely seen the
But
field.
Cook is at least playing.
Yeah, but it's a hamstring injury, so it could. Well, they both are. They both are. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know which side I would want on that, and I hate Dalvin Cook.
I think I would take Dalvin Cook. I hate saying that. If I needed to win, if I needed to win now to make sure I'm making the playoffs, I'm taking Dalvin Cook. That's a
Okay.
really hard one. That's actually the really good question.
Yeah. What about James Conner?
No.
No, you wouldn't trade for him?
I don't want to trade for Connor because I think after this week, Connor
Yep.
becomes somewhat irrelevant.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, the Pittsburgh has a bye next week. Bell is supposedly going to return during the bye week, and all of a sudden now Bell should be at least getting 2/3 of the carries, for the first week back, if not really the lion's share of everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we assume that Bell is a guy who has kept himself in shape, and ready to go. So, I mean, I think he hits the ground running.
Well, he has been on jet skis a lot.
This happens.
No,
Are you picking up Jamal Charles anywhere?
I
Okay.
don't think so.
How much do you hate Dante Moncrief?
Do we have to? I mean, let's see. The Raiders play calling or Dante Moncrief? It's close. I think I'll go with the Raiders play calling, but oh my gosh, I hate Dante Moncrief.
14 targets last
I
week.
can't stand him. I mean, if they give those to Keelan Cole or DeeDee
They did
Westbrook,
give him to Keelan Cole. Keelan Cole had targets.
but add on those 14
Yeah.
targets that they're throwing to
Give
nobody.
seven to Keelan Cole, give seven to DeeDee Westbrook, and
Yeah,
let's all be happy.
I mean, yeah, I would still win the board bet, but yeah, it would be nice. It would be a great
I'm glad
world.
you're going to win one board bet.
Yeah,
I think DeeDee Westbrook's going to be fine. I think at some point this Dante Moncrief thing ends. He's going to see a lot of Byron Jones this week. So
yes.
we saw what happened last week when Byron Jones is matched. Byron Jones is the best cornerback in football right now. And
Wow.
you don't agree?
No,
Oh, okay.
I don't.
I think Byron Jones is single-handedly keeping the Cowboys in games.
Wow.
I mean,
Okay.
so I realize. So either way, even if you don't think he's the best, I
He's
mean,
good. I mean,
he's
I'm not saying
obviously an
he's not.
elite corner, and he's going up against Dante Moncrief. That should end the discussion about Dante Moncrief for the week. Keelan Cole is nice to see him kind of bounce back. And like I said, I think DeeDee Westbrook will be fine. I think he's going to be a target hog most weeks. This is a tough matchup with Jordan Lewis out of the slot, but I think he should probably get, 8 or 9 targets this week, so he should be okay.
Speaking of tight end irrelevancy, Matt O'Shaughnessy.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you, but with ASJ going on IR, I figured I'd throw it
No.
out there.
Speaking of irrelevancy,
The Dallas
is
Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys offense, like, I ranked Dak Prescott as a QB3 this week.
I mean, QB3 isn't really saying too much, but
I mean, he's saying he's unstartable in two quarterback leagues.
yeah, which he already was.
I mean, he's yet to have a 20-point fantasy game now going against the Jacksonville defense, who were embarrassed a little bit last week versus Kansas City, though a lot of it was Bortles' fault.
Yeah, that's true.
Bortles put him in a really bad position. But still, I think the only thing startable on the Cowboys is Ezekiel Elliott, who, while he's still an RB1, I think he's a lower-end RB1.
Yeah. And then, Cole Beasley has no game on Sunday night whenever I had him as my 1.5 captain play in DFS. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
And Jeff Swaim.
No.
No? Okay.
I
I'm
mean,
with you.
no
It's just
Dallas
Zeke.
wide receiver had more than 4 targets or 2 catches last week.
I
Like,
mean,
that's versus awful Texan secondary.
yeah.
So, Jaguars at the Dallas Cowboys. The Jaguars are 3-point favorites on the road.
Jags.
Yep. Baltimore Ravens at the Tennessee Titans. This is a weird one to be in the later games.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand why two Eastern teams are playing in a later game. I mean, I guess they just needed someone to do it since the Raiders and Seahawks are playing in London.
Yeah, there's nobody else that's on the West Coast that play in the early games. So yeah.
Yeah, it just seemed weird when I saw it on the schedule, the way it is. So, Flacco struggled versus the Browns, but I think the Browns secondary is a lot better than people give it credit for.
Mm-hmm.
I think he may struggle a little bit as well this week because I think Tennessee has a better defense than people are giving them credit for.
Oh yeah, yeah, this is going to be a low scoring game for sure.
I completely agree. So that being said, are you starting Collins or Allen's or both?
Buck Allen. The touches are just insane. Like, it's 2-1 for Buck Allen most weeks.
All right. Standard league, I think Alex Collins will be better than Buck Allen.
All right, I'll take it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Collins owner, like, we've said it most of the weeks. Like, he has the averages, and they just won't give him the ball. Like, they just keep splitting the targets. So, I think it's Buck Allen most of the year. I think the rest of the season it's going to be Buck Allen that outscores Alex Collins.
Yeah.
They trust him too much.
They've been pretty good against running backs this year. So, I mean, I don't think I'm starting either, but if I'm starting one, it's Alex Collins for me.
Oh, no, it's Buck Allen for me.
Okay. You starting any wide receiver?
No.
Really?
And I'm surprised because I thought Michael Crabtree would come back and haunt the Raiders for cutting him, but he hasn't looked great, and he's not even there.
When is a narrative not panned out?
I don't believe in the John Brown hype. I think that they're just going to spread this ball around too much. Hayden Hurst is coming back, or he came back last week. He's going to get more involved this week. Like, it's going
to
be.
I told people last week not to start John Brown, that I was going to. That I would prefer Crabtree or Snead over John Brown. This week, I'm saying the opposite. John Brown is the only wide receiver worth starting on the Ravens. He got 14 targets last week.
Uh-huh.
He's getting a ton of targets. Malcolm Butler has struggled covering the deep ball this year. I think Brown will get loose for one.
Okay. John Brown will not be a top 24 wide receiver.
Okay.
Perfect. I see a lot of wins this week. This is exciting.
You see a lot of wins every week, and then the week actually plays out.
I think I'm not going to do our patented Deion Lewis, Derrick Henry bet.
Always
lose it.
you do always lose
see?
It.
That's why I'm losing, because I keep falling in that trap. I'm not going to do it again.
Well, we
becoming
should...
smarter. It's only week six.
We should keep track of like the amount of bets the amount of bets you've lost on this awful Tennessee Titans running back situation. I don't think you can start any tight other than Corey Davis.
No, I don't think so either. And this is the week that Derrick Henry goes for 120 and two touchdowns, and Deion Lewis catches 15 passes.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's just Corey Davis on this offense.
I think Mariota's hurt.
I think so, too. He just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
And this offense as a whole isn't very fun to watch.
No.
But somehow they're winning games. So if it works for them.
Their defense is doing it for them.
Yeah, it works for them.
I think
it doesn't work for us.
Tywan Taylor and Tajay Sharpe are interesting stashes in deeper leagues, but more for down the road. This is not a good matchup versus a Baltimore defense that is very good.
I don't know. I think down the road being next year maybe, but I just can't see another person in this offense being fantasy relevant for most weeks.
Yeah, but they're going to get to play the Colts. I mean, they've got to, you know, I mean, they have, their schedule lightens up a little bit.
Yeah, I'd have to see it before I'm comfortable.
Okay. Baltimore Ravens at the Tennessee Titans. The Ravens are 3-point favorites.
I do not feel comfortable betting on this game. I will not do it.
I think the Ravens win pretty handily.
I mean, I'll do it on here. I'm not doing it in real life. Yeah, Tennessee. I'm gonna pull for Tennessee.
Wow. Okay. All right. Sunday Night Football. We have Kansas City Chiefs at the New England Patriots. You are starting everybody. Wow, that was easy analysis.
Yeah. All right. So what's on Monday's schedule? I mean,
I
it's
really
so
don't know what
easy.
else to say other than, at least on the Chiefs side of the ball, you are starting everyone. You're starting Mahomes, you're starting Hunt, you're starting Hill, you're starting Watkins, you're starting Kelce. On the New England side of the ball, I mean, you're starting James White, you're starting Sony Michel, you're starting Tom Brady, you're starting Edelman, you're starting Gronk. The questions are you starting Chris Hogan and Josh Gordon?
I think one or the other. And Josh Gordon had a terrible game last week, except for one play.
Yes.
Like, I was playing him in one matchup, and I was like, oh, cool, he has zero. And then he catches one bomb. I'm like, oh my gosh, now he has 12. So I think.
I think the longer he is on that team and learns the offense and the quote unquote Patriot way, the more you're going to start seeing him get targets, the more you're going to start seeing him contribute. He'll be on the field more often. He was only on the field for 26% of the offensive snaps as opposed to Chris Hogan's 91%. I still think Gordon is a better start than Hogan this week.
I think so too. Now, biggest bust in draft season due to non-injury, Chris Hogan, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, he was going, what, eighth round,
We
seventh
should have
round?
seen this coming. I mean,
It's.
I railed against him in the off season or in the preseason because I never trust Chris Hogan, but I fell for it like in season. Like I was like, oh man, this guy's, they have no other options.
Nobody else,
They
yeah.
had nobody, but now they have
And
everybody.
Philip Dorsett becomes their wide receiver one
Yeah.
until Edelman
Cordell
and Ward get
Patterson
there.
gets,
Yeah.
gets work. So now they have everybody. So maybe this is the time where he has the breakout because there's defenses can focus on other people, but wide receiver four for me this week. Even against just truly atrocious pass defense in Kansas City, I can't see starting him.
Yeah, I agree. And then the Belichick way, stop their best player. If you're Bill Belichick and you are playing DFS, who are you not starting? Like, which one do you think that they take out of the game? Kelce, Hunt, they're not going to take Mahomes out. Is it going to be Kelce or Hill, basically?
I think it's Kelce.
I think so too. So in DFS play, I probably won't pay up for. I mean, if you're playing the Sunday night tilt, usually you're playing the Sunday, Monday. I guess Jimmy Graham over him in DFS?
No.
No? I think I'll do that.
The Patriots defense, their secondary has been so bad this year, especially against the tight end. They've allowed the sixth most fantasy points to opposing tight ends. I think if I'm Belichick, that's who I'm game planning for, but I don't know that Mahomes can be stopped.
I guess we'll find out this week.
I think Mahomes is legit, and I think this offense is perfect for him. And I think this is a huge shootout. Comes down to whose team has a little bit better defense. That's the Patriots. Patriots win a game that will go over. I don't know what the over under is. It will go over.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll do a board bet with you. I'll do Jimmy Graham versus Kelce this week.
Oh, that's easy. God, you
All
just
right.
hate to win.
No, it's Bill Belichick, I believe.
I'm glad you believe, but that's
He's
that. What has Jimmy Graham done to make you think that?
going against the 49ers.
Oh, still, I just oh. All right, let's. Who do you got in this game? 3.5 point favorites for at home for the Patriots.
Patriots.
All right, I agree, but I think it'll be close.
Oh yeah, I think that's a good line for it.
Yeah, actually, my prediction was Patriots win 41-37. Game of the week. San Francisco 49ers at the Green Bay Packers on Monday Night Football. Brito's probably gonna miss this game. Goodwin is questionable, but I think either way you're going a different direction. I think the only one who's startable on this offense for the Niners is George Kittle.
Yeah,
He's
I
also
agree.
dealing with an undisclosed injury.
So we're going to see a lot of the 49ers. I think they have 5 of the next 7 weeks they're in prime time.
Yeah, they're gonna get flexed out a lot of those games, though.
Yeah, I know they got flexed out of one already, but
Yeah,
yeah,
I
it's
believe they got the
unfortunate.
Seahawks at some point. They're gonna get flexed out of that too. See, this is why they shouldn't make these schedules based on like breakout stars on bad teams,
Right.
because this was all supposed to be about Jimmy G. Jimmy G versus Aaron Rodgers, and now we get Beathard versus a hobbled Aaron Rodgers. So,
so I have a conundrum in one of mine: George Kittle or Greg Olsen?
Kittle.
Okay.
If Kittle's playing, it's Kittle.
Yeah, I think I agree.
So
just so that way I can see it, because Greg Olsen was dropped in one of those leagues, so I picked him up.
Yeah,
so
I mean, at least the first week it's Kittle. I mean,
yeah.
he is the only target. I know a lot of people were like, "Ooh, what about Kendrick Bourne?" Kendrick Bourne has cost C.J. Beathard two interceptions, where he has been thrown balls that I would catch, that he should catch, and tipped off his hands and got an interception. Three of the four interceptions that Beathard has had has been tipped balls by his own guys. Like, balls that should have been caught. Like, yeah. As much as Beathard has not necessarily, he hasn't played well, he hasn't played poorly either. His team has really let him down. The offensive line is atrocious. The wide receiver play is bad. Breida was, like, really the big offensive weapon that he had. He's gone now. I feel bad for C.J. Beathard. Not that, even if he was on the Chiefs' offense, that he'd be great or anything, but he's doing the best he can with what he's given. He just has nothing around him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree.
From the Green Bay Packers side of the ball, Aaron Rodgers, the first half was shaky, turned it on. He really struggled not having Allison and Cobb. Hopefully one of them is back this week. It looks like Cobb is definitely going to be back. Allison, probably not. I'm really worried about this running back situation.
I think everyone is. Like, I saw a tweet the other day where it said Aaron Jones is a better pass blocker than Jamal Williams with stats to back it up. Like,
don't
it doesn't
it,
make
though.
Any sense. It doesn't make any sense why he's not out there 80% of the time.
He was only on the field 27% of the time compared to Williams' 41.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And
Aaron Rodgers likes Jones better. Like, he's like said it in the press. Like, he wants Jones on the field. Like, I don't understand. This has got to be the year Mike McCarthy gets fired, right?
It has to be. It has to be.
It's so surprising. Unfortunately, the Vikings have played mediocrely. The Lions have been really up and down. The Bears, I think, are at least a season away from really competing in this division. So the Packers may win the division and spare McCarthy. But it's atrocious. I still am betting on the talent of Aaron Jones moving forward.
Yeah, I think I am too. I mean, I have a lot of shares. I thought he would be the best running back on this team, and it looks like he is, but he just needs the touches to validate it.
In spite of being on the field 14% less, he still had more carries than Williams.
Yeah, because so, Williams has his niche of pass blocking, which is so much better than Aaron Jones.
It's not. It's really not. And, like, you know who Jamal Williams reminds me of? He reminds me of Chris Ivory. I'm just going to run forward. If you're there, I don't care.
There you go. Yeah, that's actually a good comp. And it's not an old one that I wouldn't get. Good job.
it was so fun watching the game because, like, he jumped. He does this jump thing. What is the jump thing? Like,
I think it's more his dreads that do the jumping.
It's like he, like, jumps around into the hole. Like you have no forward momentum, dude. Like, you can't, like, jump rope through a hole. It's so weird to watch, but I'm gonna bet on Jones moving forward. I think he's a low end RB2, high end RB3 this week versus a Niners defense that are allowing the 10th most fantasy points per game to fantasy running backs. It's just risky because of the snap count. I think he'll be okay though this week.
Yeah, I think if Randall Cobb plays, I like Scantling more than Randall Cobb.
I don't. Scantling does not look good.
I like him.
Do you?
What do you like him? About him? Do you like St. Brown more than Scantling?
I do, but not
minimal.
Yeah, like I it's one of those things I really don't care about either.
Hmm. I don't care about Randall Cobb.
Really?
Yeah.
If Cobb is playing, I'll take Cobb over both of those guys.
Combined?
Maybe, actually. That's an interesting fact. No, I mean, I'll go either, but there's part of me. You know what? Yeah. If Cobb is playing, I will take Randall Cobb over Scantling. And this is a ridiculous bet. With the combined fantasy points from St. Brown and Scantling.
Awesome. Yes, I will take it.
It's just so ridiculous. That's the only reason I'm doing it. Like, it makes no sense to say one player is going to beat two other players on his same team, but whatever, fuck it.
Actually, let me just give you an update. So this will only go if Cobb plays, but yes. Cobb and Allison are still out of practice today. But they have the Monday night game. Wednesday is usually a walkthrough, slower type practice. So.
I don't think Allison is going to play. He's in concussion protocol still.
Yeah.
So it's it being Monday night gives him a better shot. But Cobb wanted to play last week, but they wanted to be careful with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll play.
All right, so Rodgers, Adams, Jones, if you have to, and then pick your poison with the wide receiver too, but definitely Jimmy Graham.
Really?
Yes.
I think
I'm a believer. You were a believer in the preseason. What's changed?
The Mike McCarthy? The usage of him when both Cobb and Allison are on the field. Like, he's just not getting red zone targets, and you know, and Rodgers doesn't look for him as a first look. He's always like a dump off.
Yeah. Well, he had 4 targets week 1, 8, 7, 6, and 11. So I guess 11 with both those guys out.
Yeah,
11
makes sense.
But still 6 to 8 every week.
I don't know. They just don't feel like it. Maybe it's because I'm watching the games and I'm just not seeing them as impact targets.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but I still have faith moving forward.
I mean, I still think he's a tight end one, so what are you gonna, I mean, if you drafted Jimmy Graham, unless you picked up an Eric Ebron, like, you don't have a guy you're going to start over him. Like, I'd still start him over...
Travis Kelce this week?
Oh, no, fucking... Of course I'm starting Kelce. Like, if you drafted both those guys, you're not very good at drafting, so...
No, yeah.
I'm just trying to think of someone who might be...
Kyle Rudolph against Arizona.
Again, you would not have both these guys on your team.
Okay, DFS purposes.
Give me... I guess I'd go Graham there because I think that game could run... the Minnesota game could get out of hand and they'd stop throwing it.
Okay, what about on the other side? Kittle.
I think I'm taking
You could have definitely picked him up.
Yeah, I definitely would take Kittle.
Okay.
So... All right, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. What do you got going on this week, Colin?
Oh, you're picking Green Bay in that game, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Easy.
Green Bay are 10.5-point favorites, 9.5-point favorites in the game. I'm taking Green Bay to cover.
You know what? I don't think they'll cover.
Oh, okay. Want to bet on that?
No.
Okay, didn't think so. what do you got going on this week, Colin?
So, for the baseball side, we're still doing baseball podcasts. Me and Mike the Rotocop did an interview.
That was a great podcast.
Oh, my gosh. It was so funny. This guy, Eric Sim, he is a previous minor league catcher turned pitcher. He is a Korean-Canadian, and every other word was a cuss word. Like, it's perfect for our site.
Yes. You could not have played this anywhere else that you – because, I mean, the bleeping involved on most sites – would be if you don't like when we curse, do not go listen to this podcast. If you enjoy cursing and you want to hear a former minor leaguer who's actually very funny mm-hmm. and has an interesting story talk about what it's like growing up in Korea playing baseball or playing in the minor leagues, go listen to it because it was a short podcast, but it was very fun to listen to.
Well, here's the thing. So you're a Giants fan. So
I am.
We actually did some things off the air. We asked him for a couple stories. We really wish we would have recorded it and threw it in, but he had 2 stories that he wanted to share with us. So I'll just throw them at the end of this. So Joe Panic, you know Joe Panic, mm-hmm. second baseman for San Francisco. He said that the rumors are true. He is the nicest guy in the world.
Does not surprise me.
Yeah, he is the nicest guy in the world. He played with them in the minors. And then one of his practices, so there were like 3 catchers and they were practicing throwing down to second base. And that's one of the things that Eric Sim said he loved the most is throwing out guys, especially from the catcher mm-hmm. position. So he was throwing out guys and they were practicing with some of the major leaguers. So Brandon Crawford was there. And so he, like a couple guys threw down to Brandon Crawford, just kind of lofty throws or whatever. And so Eric Sim gets up there and he's like, okay, I'm going to try and impress everybody. I'm going to throw this as hard as I can to Brandon Crawford covering second base. So he throws it as hard as he can. Everyone's eyes open. Like, they're like, who the hell is this guy? And it turns out that he thumbed him. He thumbed Brandon Crawford. So Brandon Crawford's like, fuck, what the hell, man? And he was like all the coaches were like, who is this guy? Is this guy good? And then he went up to bat and he's like, oh, that's why. It was really funny, but it was great to hear, you know, perspective from a guy coming from Korea, playing in Canada, playing in the minor league system. Now he's a bartender. Like, it was a crazy story. It was a really enjoyable. I think me and Mike are still laughing today.
It was, yeah, it was a really great interview. So if you like baseball, even if you don't like baseball, it was just kind of a fun, easy, quick listen. So you can reach me on Twitter at just MasonFWFB. Read my stuff over at Fantasy Alarm for football, baseball at FanGraphs, both at Friends of Fantasy Benefits. And yeah, just doing podcasts, football, baseball. No basketball or hockey for me. So
that's no, but we do have them on the site, so go check them out.
Yes, we Andrew Dewhurst does a lot of great hockey work, and Ben Brennis and Eric Mackey handle the basketball podcast, though I don't know if they've done any episodes recently. So,
no, but it's about to start.
It is. And that's going to do it for this episode. For calling myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.